All right, Philippians and chapter 3. Book of Philippians. Good morning, everyone. Morning, Brady. How are you?
All right. Another day to listen to the word.
There you go.
It's
been a good, busy morning so far.
I'm sorry.
Are you having my day yesterday?
Do you have one of those?
Every time I turn around yesterday, it was
something. Philippians chapter 3.
Philippians chapter 3?
Mm-hmm. I know, still, right? Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day, Lord. And Father, we pray that everything that is here in this book of Philippians and in your word, Father, would become a part of us, Lord, that it would live in us by your Holy Spirit, that we would be able to think and respond to things, to take our attitudes, our actions, our behavior, everything in our lives, Lord, that it would flow from your word by your Holy Spirit. And we pray, Father, that you would begin that process by teaching your word to us, that we can understand it, that it might live in us. In the name of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Philippians and chapter 3. We're basically taking a verse a week. I was looking through here and actually counted the verses the other day. I don't think I had done that before. And there's 104 verses in the book of Philippians. Half of that is 52. There's 52 weeks in a year, so I figure if we hurry up, we can get through these four chapters of Philippians in two years. If we go fast. Philippians chapter 3. Let's read. Pick it up in verse 10. Paul is talking about his goal here. And he says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. And we've been talking about this, those couple of verses and that passage. Is that battery gone dead on us?
No.
All right, thanks. And we saw that what Paul is looking for here is he's not just looking for a change or an improvement in his behavior. He's looking for new life. He's looking for resurrection life, that life that comes out of death. Death to ourselves. We've been saying from the beginning of this book of Philippians that this book is really in the end about emptying ourselves and then being filled with and by Christ. So Paul's the point he's trying to get across, and this thing that he's pressing toward here in Philippians chapter 3, he starts off at the beginning of the chapter telling us to rejoice in the Lord. And he's been talking about that ever since, and we've been talking about that our life, our glory, our rejoicing, our rest is in Christ. And that's the only way that we're going to get true joy and rejoicing and rest. Is that good? Testing, testing. 1, 2. All right. Thanks, brother. Is by that resurrection life. Now, you and I know we can't resurrect ourselves. We might be able to change our behavior and conform to a set of rules and so forth, but we can't bring life out of death. We can't do that. Only God can do that. And only that is going to bring us to where we want to be, where Christ wants us to be. That resurrection life. So Paul says, that's my goal, that I may know Him, the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. And we've talked about that. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. And we saw last week that Paul's not trying to get resurrected in the last day. I mean, that's already a settled issue. You and I know that. When you came to trust Christ, that He died for your sins and He rose again, your resurrection, your physical bodily resurrection is guaranteed by His. And you get that by faith. So when Paul says that I'm doing this, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, he's talking about now. He's talking about in this life. So Paul, that's his goal. That's what he wants. That's what he's pressing toward. That perfection. How are you going to be? How are you going to think? How are you going to behave after you're resurrected? You're not going to sin anymore. You're not going to have thoughts of disobeying God anymore. You're going to be perfect. Well, that's what Paul's talking about here. Now, in this context, and we've already looked up to this point, now we're moving into verse 12 now this morning, there's a danger in this idea of what Paul is talking about here. And that danger is for me to think at some point in my Christian life that I've arrived. I'm pressing toward this mark. I'm pressing toward it if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Well, now you get some people coming to a place where they say, ta-da, I've attained, I'm here. And it's called the eradication of the sin nature and all kinds of things that people believe that they don't sin anymore. Now that whole concept is just absolutely incomprehensible to me. I don't understand it. But here's the thing. What happens is when you get focused on behavior, on the things that you do and the things that you don't do, you can come up with a list. You can come up with a list and say, here's what righteousness looks like. Righteousness does this, and it doesn't do this. And if I can match the things on that list, I've arrived. See, that's why I'm saying to you, and Paul is saying to all of us, that it's not about that. It's not about what you do and what you don't do. It's about life. So, to head that idea off, and to deal with, I think, some people in Philippi who already had that notion that they've arrived, come to perfection, Paul gives us verse 12, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. So Paul is sure to tell us now in this context, this perfection that we're striving toward, Paul says, I haven't attained to it. And listen, if Paul hasn't attained to it, then neither of you, and neither have I, and neither of these Philippians, and that's what he's trying to get across to them. They're following him. And he hasn't attained to it. So here's the thing. You know, the Lord told his disciples, don't be more righteous. Servant shouldn't be more righteous than his Lord, than his master. How can you be more righteous than God? Well, people jump out ahead of the Lord, which is actually falling behind, and they come up with their own way of being righteous, rather than approaching it God's way. So Paul says, I haven't attained to this. I haven't achieved that resurrection perfection. I'm pressing toward it. I'm moving toward it. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, But I follow after, if that I may apprehend, that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. And we talked a little bit, we got, I think, into that first line or so of verse 12 last week, and we talked about the idea that we, Paul tells the Galatians, and the Galatians had a similar problem. They were thinking that they were going, you know what, we haven't looked at another verse yet. Turn back just a few pages to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. They're going to be made perfect, but they're going to be made perfect by obeying the law. It's the same problem that Israel had. They thought that perfection came from the law. Galatians chapter 3. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. Now, you and I know that these Galatians, where was Christ crucified? He was crucified outside of Jerusalem, not over here in Galatia. When Paul says that he was crucified, set forth before your eyes, crucified, he's talking about his own preaching, the setting forth of Christ crucified, that gospel that he preaches, and these things that we've been talking about. Christ crucified, not only to save you from the penalty of your sin, but to save you from the power of sin. The cross of Christ. Paul says, I told you guys about this. I set him forth. I laid it out for you. So he says, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? This only would I learn of you. Verse 2. Received you the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? See, this is the issue. These Galatians are thinking that they're reaching perfection. And how are they doing that? They're doing that by a list. Starting with circumcision and going on out through. You know where you get that list? Well, you get it from God in the law. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not. That's a list. Behavior. People look at that and they say, there you go, there it is, there's the standard. Obey the Ten Commandments and you'll be righteous. Well, if you obeyed them perfectly all the time, then yeah, you would. The problem is you don't, and neither do I. Because it's not just about the behavior, it's about thoughts, and it's about the inner man and the things that happen within us that come at us so fast we don't even realize it, and all of a sudden it's there. And I've sinned. Say, wait a minute, that wasn't my fault. No. That stuff, it comes through your old nature, through that old sinful nature. Christ didn't have those thoughts. We have those thoughts because we're sinners. So, going out after the fact and saying, all right, I'm going to do all of these things, that's too late. The horse is already out of the barn. The sin's already done. So are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? See, this is what Paul is dealing with in Philippi, in Galatia, and everywhere, the same thing you and I deal with, religion. This idea, the idea that keeps people from getting saved. I'm gonna be a good person and God's gonna accept me. And you end up off into hell because you realize you weren't a good person. Hopefully it's not too late by the time you realize that. That's unsaved people. You and me as saved people, we get the same problem. I'm gonna be a good person now that I'm a Christian, and I'm going to do all the right things, and then God is going to be pleased with me. Paul says, don't be a fool. Don't be a fool. You think God is any more pleased with the good works of your flesh than he is with the bad works of your flesh? God's not pleased with your flesh. Your flesh does good stuff. And that's not any better than the bad stuff. It's not any more acceptable. What's acceptable is death to the flesh and life, that resurrection life. That's what's acceptable. So, you've got these issues of perfection that Paul's dealing with. Come back to Romans chapter 9 with me and watch it, because this problem that these Galatians had, it is it's the stumbling block of the law, Romans chapter 9. It's the same thing that people have today. We saw Paul say that what he used to have, the righteousness which is in the law, he said, I was blameless. I had all of that. I had all the behavior. He says, when I found Christ, I threw all of that stuff out. I counted it dung. I was doing all, I was following the list. I had all of that stuff down. And I counted it loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Romans chapter 9, verse 30. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. So Paul's talking about attaining and not attaining, and I follow after in our verse there. So here he says, look, you've got the Gentiles, that's you and me, and actually he's not even talking about saved people here necessarily. He's talking about the Gentile world. The righteousness of God went out to them. That doesn't mean they're all saved. It means that they have it now, whereas Israel had it before. And they weren't following after that. They weren't pursuing God. They were in blindness and in darkness. But they've attained to righteousness. Now that's not righteousness in their behavior. Look at the world out there. You think the world has attained to righteousness? I don't know what world you're looking at. But Paul says that the Gentiles have attained to righteousness. The righteousness which is of faith. See, that perfection God offers freely as a gift by faith. And they weren't following after it, but they've attained to it. But Israel, verse 31, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone. See? They had the list. If I can just do these things, I'll be righteous. I'll be perfect. And Paul says that's a stumbling stone. And you don't get it that way. You don't attain it that way. How do you attain to righteousness? The only way to attain to righteousness is to receive it as a free gift from God. And then it's given to you in full. Perfect. So here's the... Paul goes on in our verse in Philippians 3:12 there, and he says, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. So in other words, Christ has already apprehended me. I love that word, apprehended. That's when you arrest a criminal, you apprehend them, right? Christ apprehended Paul. He apprehended you, me. And he brought us to that place of attainment. He gave us perfect righteousness. So now Paul says, I'm following after. If that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ. Christ has already given me complete righteousness, perfection. You are complete in Him. So now Paul says, he's pursuing what he already has. That is, He wants to see his life match what God has given him. Perfect righteousness. Resurrection life. You've got the life. Now your life should match the life. So that's what we press toward. That's what we follow after. And it's critical to understand that what you're following after is something you already have. Because if you don't get that, then you're striving for something that you're going to achieve, that you're going to attain. And you're stumbling at that stumbling stone. You'll never get it. Realize that you've already got it. Christ has already apprehended you. Now you're trying to apprehend that for which He has already brought you to. So, Paul says, Israel, they were following after it, but they were following after it the wrong way. Come back with me to the book of Isaiah. And I believe we're going to be in chapter 51. Isaiah 51. Watch Isaiah say it to these folks. Isaiah chapter 51. Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness. So that's what we're doing here now. Okay? Paul says, I've not attained, but I'm following after. Okay, so, hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Look ye unto the rock whence you are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence you are digged. Look unto Abraham, your father, and unto Sarah that bare you. For I called him alone, and blessed him, and increased him. Now Isaiah is telling these people, you, if you're following after righteousness, if you're seeking righteousness, here's where you want to look. Look to Abraham. That rock from whence you are hewn, that you came from. If you want to learn about how to get righteousness, go back. Listen, you're in Isaiah here. The law is, I mean, you're under the law. Isaiah is saying, you got to go back before that. You got to go back to Abraham. And what do you find when you go back to Abraham? And look, not his whole life, but when God called him alone and blessed him and increased him. Back at the beginning, come with me to Genesis chapter 12. Make it chapter 15. He's called out in chapter 12. He goes out and he gets to the place that God called him to. Coming up to chapter 15. Genesis 15. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eleazar of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, thou hast given me no seed, and one born in my house is mine heir. So Abraham has no children. And God has made all these promises to him, and he says, who's going to get all this stuff? I don't have an heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall be thine, shall not be thine heir, Eleazar, but he that cometh forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. Now Abraham's getting a little long in the tooth now at this point. He's an old man, and Sarah's getting old too. And he brought him forth abroad, God brought Abraham. And he said, Look now toward heaven. Tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. So Abraham, you're going to have kids, and they're going to be like the stars of the heaven for multitude. And verse 6, and he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. See? Ye that follow after righteousness, are seeking the Lord, look to Abraham. Look to the rock whence you are hewn. That's what Isaiah is telling that nation of Israel. You want to learn how to get righteousness? Go back to Abraham and see that Abraham believed God, and that was counted to him for righteousness. Abraham doesn't do anything in this passage. He doesn't obey God. He's already done that. The Lord called him out, and here he is out. But here, all he does is he believes what God said. And that is his righteousness. So you want righteousness? Paul says, I had that stuff that the law had to offer. I want the righteousness which is of God by faith. I want what Abraham had. That gift. I want God's righteousness. I don't want my own. So, back in Philippians, they stumbled at that stumbling stone. Righteousness is a gift of God. The behavior now, because now what we're moving into is Paul's pursuit of that righteousness in his life, in his behavior, in the things that he does and doesn't do. You and I, we want that too. I mean, we're not saying, oh, okay, I've got the righteousness of God, my behavior doesn't matter. Of course our behavior matters. The question is, how am I going to get there? Paul says, I'm following after, and this is how I'm doing it. I'm doing it by faith. I'm not doing it by my own effort to be good. I'm pursuing this understanding and this apprehension to apprehend that for which Christ has apprehended me, to get this, what God has made me to be, who God has made me to be, to get a clear look at, by faith, at that perfection that He's already given me. Because the clearer that becomes to me, the closer I come to it. That's how I follow after. That's how I press toward that mark. So he says, I've not already attained. We're back in Philippians 3:12. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. So Paul is talking about, and he's going to go on. You see what he says there. I have not yet attained, neither were already perfect. Look down in verse 15. That's verse 12. Verse 15 says, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. Well, are you perfect or aren't you perfect? Well, yeah, you're perfect. You have the perfection that God has given you, that perfect, absolute righteousness. Listen, God doesn't accept anything less than perfection. If you don't have perfect righteousness, you're not saved. You're not getting into heaven with anything less than absolute, perfect righteousness. So in order for that to be possible, God has to give that to you. You don't have that. I don't have that. It's a gift. So are we perfect? Yes, we're perfect. Are we perfect? No, we're not perfect. We've been given perfection. Now we're pressing toward what we've been given in our life, in our behavior. So I want to, not as though I had already attained. Either we're already perfect. Now, we're going to jump ahead of ourselves, and we've already done that looking at verse 15, but look at verse 16, and we'll deal with these verses when we get there. But nevertheless, and he's talking to those that be perfect in verse 15, nevertheless, whereto we have already attained. Let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Now, what have we already attained to? Now, we know we've got that perfect righteousness, okay? What Paul is talking about here is something that you already have in your life. Now, what is that? Come with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4, and we'll see what that is. 1 Timothy chapter 4. You know, you hear a lot today in churches about, you know what, let's not worry so much about doctrine. Because doctrine divides people. And we don't want to be divided. We want to be united. So let's not put all this focus on doctrine. Let's just get together and love the Lord and have unity among ourselves. The problem with that is that doctrine is where this whole process begins. It's where the pursuit begins. If you don't have the doctrine, you can't even get started on this road to following what Christ has given you. You don't know what He's given you because you don't have the doctrine. You have to know who you are in Christ. You have to know about the cross. You have to know about the blood. You have to know about the resurrection. And not just the fact of those things, but what they mean. That's doctrine. Paul says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You don't get furnished unto the good works until you get the doctrine. Because that's where that stuff springs from. Otherwise, it's just you. If it's going to come from that life begins with an apprehension, a comprehension of the doctrine. 1 Timothy chapter 4. You've got some more people here in the last days of this dispensation that they're trying to get perfection too. They're abstaining from things and doing certain things. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. See, now look, you know who's got their conscience seared with a hot iron? Somebody who thinks they don't sin anymore. That's the only way you can come to that conclusion. You just deadened your conscience. You have no idea what sin is, one way or the other, same thing. So he says, they're hypocrites, and they speak lies in hypocrisy. They've got their consciences seared, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Now look, what you've got going on there, and I'll do a commercial here for Right Division, in 1 Timothy 4:3, commanding to abstain from meats, that's the law. You can eat certain things, you can eat certain things you can't eat. Well, who gave the law? God. What does Paul say it is here? The doctrine of devils. Well, is it the doctrine of God or is it the doctrine of devils? Well, it depends on what dispensation you're in. It was the doctrine of God. But Paul says Christ came to put that stuff away. Abolished the enmity, the law of commandments. God abolished it, and Satan picks it up. It's what he always does. So what used to be the doctrine of God is today the doctrine of devils. Forbidding to marry. Forbidding to marry goes the other way. Jesus, not out in the back in the time past, it goes out into the ages to come, because Jesus said that in the resurrection, in the regeneration, they shall neither marry nor are given in marriage. Today, it's the doctrine of devils. It's going to be the doctrine of God. Abstaining from meats was the doctrine of God. Today, it's not. Today, it's the doctrine of devils. Because God's not doing that today. That's a plug. Verse 4, for every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. So today, there is nothing that you can't eat. We're back to the days of Noah now. God, when Noah came off the ark, God said, Noah, if you can catch it, you can eat it. And that's me and you too. There's no restrictions. Every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused. And them that believe, know and believe the truth, you got that. It's sanctified by the word of God in prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. So I'm putting you in remembrance of these things so I can be a good minister of Jesus Christ, okay? Nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. So what's the first thing you attain? You attain the words of faith and sound doctrine. So when Paul says, whereto we have already attained, let's walk by the same rule, this is what he's talking about. The first thing that you need, Paul says, I haven't attained to this perfection in my life, but I'm following after. And the way that you do that, step one in following after, is attaining to some doctrine. Getting the truth and having that come down and live in your life. Turn back on our way back to Philippians. Take a look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. See, what is faith? We're talking about this righteousness that comes by faith. Faith is believing what God said. That's what faith is. In order for you to believe what God says, the first thing you need is you need to know what God says. That's doctrine. Can't believe something you don't know. So this idea of, you know, never mind all of this doctrine. We know what the Lord wants. He wants us to love each other. Well, yeah. And you know you have absolutely zero capacity to do that without doctrine. We can put on a show. We can smile at each other and we can help each other. Paul says, I can give my body to be burned for you and not have charity. And if I do that, it profits nothing. So I can act like I love you. We can act like we love each other. But we can't do it because what God is looking for, just like we can act like we're righteous, God is looking for that life. The love, His love. That's what He wants to see. That can only come by faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. You want to get this verse, if you don't already have it, in your frame of reference, and if you haven't memorized it, and if you don't know where it is, get this verse. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you receive the word of God, which you heard of us. You received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. So how do we get this change in our life that we're looking for? How do we get some effectual working going on? The Word of God. The Word of God, as we take it in and let it dwell in us richly, and we take in that Word of God and we believe it and we act upon it by faith, the Word of God works and begins that effectual working in us that we're looking for. People say, I'm trying this grace thing, I'm thinking about my position in Christ and so forth, and it's not working for me. I'm still going out and doing things that I ought not do. Well, number one, how much time are you spending in the Word? We're talking about following after now. See, we've talked for how many weeks now about our position and what God has given to us. We don't work for that. We don't strive for it. It's given to us. It's ours. You got to get that first. Now we're moving into the following after. Now there's something that we can do to pursue this thing. And the first thing that you want to attain to is that doctrine. You got to get that. It's not enough just to see it once and to know it. Paul says, I want to apprehend it. You know the truth, but the more you read and the more time you spend in the Word and meditating on it, Paul says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. You know what that is? Meditation. Meditating on. Let it sink down from your head down into your soul. It begins to work effectually in you as you... Your faith is strengthened as you take in the Word of God. You see the same verses over and over. Verses don't change. They've been there for 2,000 years. Same verses you read yesterday. And you see a little bit more every time, don't you? A little bit more. A little bit more. A little bit more. What are you doing? I'm following after. I'm following after. I'm pursuing. I'm pressing toward. See? Paul tells Timothy, I got to quit. Follow after righteousness, faith, charity, patience, meekness, all of those things. Pursue those things. Follow after those things. But don't stumble as you're following. Don't fall over that stumbling stone. You pursue those things by faith, by strengthening your understanding and your apprehension of what Christ has apprehended you to. That's how you follow. Pursue that. Grow in that. Don't get the idea that, okay, all I need to do is believe. You need to grow in that pursuit, in that faith. Press forward in it. Paul's going to say, I told you I got to quit and I'm going to. He's going to say, you know what? I haven't attained, but I'm doing one thing. This one thing I do. I'm pressing toward that mark. Forgetting that stuff that I came out of, and that stuff that's behind, I'm reaching forth and I'm pressing toward that mark. That's his single goal in life. Everything he does. Paul works. He works for a living. He chats with friends. He does all the things that you and I do. But all of it has got a single, solitary purpose and goal in mind. And that is to press toward that mark, to come to realize and to attain to that resurrection power. I'm done. Do you have a question? No? All right. Thanks, y'all.